John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 11 through 17. And though we dealt with verse 14 last week, we're only going to deal with verse 11 today. So John chapter 15, verses 11 through 17. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Not that this is an especially unique portion of Scripture in terms of the sayings of Christ, but it does present us with a variety of challenges in terms of what does he mean, and some great truths in terms of how to live. Let's pray. Father God, speak to us today that we might know more of who you are and who you have saved us to be. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. In this statement, there are two what I would call vital truths and one implied truth that I want us to consider today. The two vital truths are this. First, paying attention to and living according to the things Jesus said and taught is a requirement for having his joy in us and having our joy become a full and complete joy. Paying attention to and living according to the things Jesus said and taught is a requirement for having his joy in us and having our joy become a full and complete joy. Second, the joy that Jesus gives is an inward joy, which means its presence and our experiencing it are never dependent on anything outside us, such as people or circumstances. The joy that Jesus gives is an inward joy, which means its presence and our experiencing it are never dependent on anything outside us, such as people or circumstances. The implied truth comes from the larger context of John chapter 14 and 15. And specifically, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." Here in John 15, 11, Jesus says, "That my joy may be in you." The implied truth that I believe is important for us to see is that living in the peace of God is a requirement or a prerequisite for possessing and experiencing the joy of the Lord. In other words, to experience the joy of the Lord in a full and complete way, we must come to the place of trusting God enough to begin experiencing the inward peace of God regardless of the circumstances. What I want to do today is to look at these three truths in the order that I stated them. So once again, the first truth is paying attention to and living according to the things Jesus said and taught is a requirement for having his joy in us and having our joy become full and complete. This truth stands out to us in this verse because Jesus begins his statement about joy with these words. These things I have spoken to you so that. These things I have spoken to you so that. It is the two words, so that, that tells us that the things Jesus said and taught prior to this statement are an essential requirement for having his joy in us and having our joy become full and complete. So, let me take a couple minutes and give you an abbreviated reminder of what Jesus said and taught just prior to making this statement about having his joy in us and our joy being full and complete. Once, Jesus commands us to love each other, John 13, 34 and 35. Twice, he exhorts us to trust him instead of giving way to fear and anxiety, John 14, 1 and verse 27. Three times, Jesus tells us that those who love him obey him, which means loving God and obeying God are inseparable. But there's more. For Jesus goes on to say that when we love and obey him, he gives us wonderful gifts, such as the Holy Spirit and God dwelling in us. At another occasion, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him, John 14, 6. And if we ponder that statement for a while, we begin to realize that whatever the world, the flesh, and the devil offers us is the opposite of the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, 31, Jesus reminds us that he is the example we are to follow in loving God and keeping his commandments. He doesn't require us to do something he hasn't already done. In John 15, verses 1 through 4, Jesus says, he is the vine, that is, he is our life source who enables us to bear fruit. And Jesus also said that God is the vine dresser, that is, the one who prunes us so that we bear more fruit. Therefore, one of the wisest things we can do is to abide in the vine and cooperate with the vine dresser. Jesus went on to say that abiding in him and having his words abide in us opens the door to receiving what we ask for. And in so doing, we bring glory to God and verify that we are his disciples. John 15, 7 to 9. And finally, in John 15, 9 through 11, Jesus exhorts us to abide in his love. And he continues on to tell us that the way to abide in his love is to keep his commandments. My purpose with this quick review is to confirm that Jesus is stating an important life-changing truth when he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that." So when we take a look at this statement that we're looking at today here in 15:11. We also want to consider what it is that Jesus said, which brings the so that into reality. So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full and complete. And the important truth that I want us to see here is that we must pay attention to and live according to the words and teachings of Jesus in order to get into this spiritual, mental, and emotional condition whereby we are able to have God's joy in us and have our joy become full and complete. You see, it isn't just a matter of Jesus or God putting his joy in us. It's a matter of being in that condition whereby we can receive it, whereby we can live in it. And that requires spiritual, mental, and emotional health. My point here is that if you're not in the right condition, then you will have spiritually, mentally, and emotionally unhealthy and ungodly ways of thinking, speaking, and behaving, along with ungodly fears and hopes and desires and habits that will prevent you. They'll get in the way of you being able to take hold of and experience God's indwelling joy, which in turn prevents you from having a full and complete joy of your own. And so, paying attention to and living according to the Word of God is an essential requirement for having God's joy in you and having your joy become a full and complete joy. The second truth found in verse 11 that I want us to consider today is that the joy Jesus gives is an inward joy. Therefore, its presence in us and our experiencing it are never dependent on anything outside of us. I can't imagine that any of us grew up believing this. And it's probably true that some of us in this room don't believe it now. And it's possible that some of us who are older could say we believe it, but we may not live as if we believe it. This is an important truth that Jesus is giving to us, because joy that is dependent on outside sources, such as people or circumstances, is fleeting in that it comes and goes depending on what is going on around us or happening to us. And the same is true when we depend on people and circumstances for happiness. It's not that we can't enjoy circumstances or people, or that we can't find happiness in circumstances or people, but when we depend on circumstances and people, things outside of us, for joy and happiness, we are doing something that is self-defeating, self-sabotaging, self-destructive, foolish, and if I might say, in an appropriate way, stupid. But there is a far more sinister side to seeking joy and happiness in the people and circumstances of life. To have the joy that Jesus gives, and to have a joy of your own that is full and complete, requires, so listen carefully, it requires living according to the teachings and commandments of God. Remember the second half of Psalm 19? In keeping them there is great reward. And this is why Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you." Because if he hadn't spoken those things to us, we wouldn't know what we need to do in order to have his joy in us. And what I'm hoping we can see is that looking for joy in the world around us and depending on people or circumstances to make us happy requires stepping outside the boundaries of godliness. It requires resorting to selfish and manipulative or other unloving means to obtain the joy and happiness we seek. I get involved with some amount of counseling, and by the grace of God, I have learned to listen to myself. And it is true and sad that even in how we talk to each other, we say certain words, we give certain intonations to our voice, we pick certain times, And we use even our words to manipulate or control other people in order to get what we want so that we can have the happiness or joy that we seek. It's that subtle. Listen to children. They're not as subtle. But when we get to be adults, you know, we've learned to have more manners and we're wiser about getting caught. And we know how to camouflage what we really are. But nonetheless, it's still there. In other words, joy and happiness that is dependent on outside sources is not only fleeting. The pursuit of such joy and happiness pulls us into using selfish and sinful means. And when we resort to such means, even for the sake of gaining happiness and joy, we end up losing the very thing we seek. For whatever seeming good selfishness and sin brings, it also and always brings suffering and loss, which in time turns our outwardly dependent joy and happiness into unhappiness, hurt feelings, discouragement, feeling like a victim, resentment, bitterness, and anger, all things that suck the life out of whatever joy and happiness we might have had. All right, so you may be thinking that there is hardly any joy, if any at all, and mostly hard, unpleasant, and difficult work, and having to comply with another demand from God just to get some measure of inward joy. And it's possible that you've only heard about this joy and not really experienced it. And in competition with that, the world offers us numerous paths to joy and happiness that require far less work and are gained far more quickly than the joy God gives. And if you're thinking that way, I understand it. I'm sure God understands it. But it is foolish. God's demands, God's commands, God's teachings are not to make life harder, less joyful, or unhappy, but rather to make life easier and full of joy. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't remove the hard work. It doesn't remove the difficulty of walking in the way of God, following the narrow path instead of the wide path. But what it removes is all the troubles, all the suffering and pain that you inflict on yourself by your own sinfulness. It removes that. The reality is, it is only in doing what God says that we come into that condition of spiritual, mental, and emotional health, whereby we are able to receive and continue to experience God's joy, so that we enter into a joy of our own that is full and complete. Now, I chose not to spend time by adding a fourth thing here, but the fourth thing is, there is the joy of the Lord and the joy of your own, and they go hand in hand. It isn't just the joy of the Lord. It's your own joy, and you can have a full and complete joy that is your own when you do what God says in order to be able to receive the joy of the Lord. But that's for another time. All right, when we pay attention to and make it our sincere and intentional aim to live according to God's word, we will enter into the condition that makes us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally healthy enough to receive and continually experience the indwelling joy of the Lord, and to come to that place where we have our own joy that is full and complete. The third truth that I want to talk about is found in verse 11 also, and it's an implied truth. And as I said earlier, it comes from the larger context. In John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." That is stated first, chronologically, according to the way John laid it out. And whether this is strictly God's doing, or John knew exactly what he's doing, or Jesus stated that way, is irrelevant. It's that way in our Holy Scriptures. That's the way we find it. First, "My peace I give to you." Then, in John 15:11, "My joy is in you." So whatever you think about that order, I believe John put Jesus' words about peace and joy in this order because this is the order required for receiving and experiencing the indwelling joy of the Lord. In other words, we must first come to the place of trusting God enough to experience the inward peace of God in order to experience the joy of the Lord. So, stick with me here for a moment. Because you may be wondering why being in the spiritual condition to have the peace of God within is a requirement to having the joy of God within. And I want to give you just two reasons. I think there's more, but just two today. First, to have God's peace within requires trusting in the goodness of God, the justice of God, and the love of God, so much so that you no longer worry or fret in spite of what is going on around you or with you or being done to you. And it is the sense of being safe in God's hands that keeps His peace alive and well inside of you. And I say that because, in contrast, any degree of unbelief in the goodness and justice and love of God leads to turning away from God and God's Word in order to take matters into your own hands and deal with the person or situation according to what you think is best. And once you replace God as the final one in charge of the outcome, you will not only resort to ungodly ways and means to obtain the outcome you want, you will also give way to anxiety, worry, and fear, which robs whatever God-given inner peace you may have had. And where there is no inward peace, I can assure you, there can be no inward joy. Doesn't mean you can't drink to feel better for a time, or take drugs, or go buy something, or eat something, or drive real fast down the road, or take a toboggan ride down a wonderful toboggan slide. There are things that can mask reality for you and make you feel good for the moment. But the reality is, where there is no inward peace, there can be no inward joy. And where there is no inward peace of God, there will be no inward joy of the Lord. The second reason that you must have the peace of God within to receive and experience the inward joy of the Lord is because in order to have the peace of God within, you must be content. This is an important word, content. You must be content with what God is doing or allowing, along with waiting patiently. Content's important. Waiting patiently is important. You must be content with what God is doing or allowing, along with waiting patiently for God to act in His time, of course, for God to act and bring out good from what to you seems like a bad or hopeless situation. You see, without this kind of contentment and patience, you cannot find joy, for there is no joy or happiness where there is discontentment and impatience. And especially so when you are discontent and impatient with God. He is the ultimate being. And whether you think this way or not, it is common for humanity, that includes all of us in this room, to ultimately hold God responsible for our disappointments, for the things that aren't happening that we want to happen, for whatever is going wrong in our life. God could be doing something about this. God could be fixing this. God could change us. Yes, all that's true. But the question is, will you be content with what God is doing or allowing, and will you wait patiently for God to bring about a greater good? Therefore, to have God-given inward joy, you must have God-given peace. To have God-given inward peace, you must have contentment and patience with what God is doing or allowing. To have contentment and patience with what God is doing or allowing, you must trust that God is good and that all His ways are just and that His loving kindness is everlasting in spite of what is going on around you or with you or what is being done to you. To do other than this is to feed a spiritual, mental, an emotional environment within yourself that is unable to live in the peace of God and therefore unable to receive and experience the joy of the Lord. Today we are celebrating communion. And we do this in remembrance of Jesus, who died and rose again on our behalf. And I submit to you that most, if not all of us, eat the bread and drink the cup of communion with great confidence that what Jesus did in dying and rising from the dead, He did for us. I doubt that there's anybody in this room that doubts that. And I submit to you that most, if not all of us, are equally confident in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And as a result, we confidently look forward to eternity with God instead of eternity apart from God. And so we eat and drink with confidence, a confident faith, a confident trust. And today, in light of the teaching, as I pass out the bread and the cup, what I'm inviting you to consider is this. In the same confident way you trust God for eternal life, as expressed in your eating this bread and drinking this cup, do you, and if not, will you trust God and His ways enough to experience the inward peace of God, regardless of the circumstances, so that in trusting Him, you can come to that spiritual, mental, and emotional condition whereby you begin to experience the joy of the Lord and gain your own joy that is full and complete. It is true that such trust will require contentment and patience with what God is doing or allowing. Yet the same God who died for you to free you from the power and practice of sin is the God who empowers and sustains you so that you can be content and you can be patient with Him, regardless of the circumstances. This is not having to go somewhere alone. This is going with God. And so trusting God like this is something you can do. My question for you as we prepare to show our faith in God by eating and drinking, by remembering what Christ has done and with confidence trusting in it, is simply this: do you, and if not, will you trust God and His ways enough to experience His inward peace and His joy?